So I get the advantage of talking to a crowd that already believes in prayer. So I'm not going to go into a lot of that. Everyone knows now that prayer is an integral part of Christian life. So when I get up here and I give a lesson about being devoted to prayer, everyone agrees with me already. We need to be devoted to prayer. But agreeing and doing are sometimes two completely different things. It's very easy in our hustle and bustle world that we live in to not pray as we should, as often as we should. So tonight I want to look a little bit about the who, what, why, where, how that we pray of prayer. We want to look at some examples of people who were devoted to prayer in the Bible and see what we can get from them. And then I'd like to go over some ways that maybe we can make our prayer life better, some more practical kind of ideas. All this year, Chad's been doing lessons on drawing near to God and changing the inner man by changing your thoughts. Prayer is crucial to that happening. So why do we pray? It is our communication with our Heavenly Father. He talks to us through the Word, but we talk to Him in prayer. Communication is a two-way street. Prayer is our part of the street. As Christians, as Chad has been teaching us to draw near to God, prayer is absolutely important to do that. Someone says, well, God already knows it anyways, but He needs to hear it from us. Let's look at the example of a young couple. What if the boy is always doing good things for the girl? He's buying her flowers, he's taking her to dinner, he's taking good care of her, but he never comes around and says, I love you. How do you think that's going to go for them? How is their relationship going to progress? Probably not so well. She's always going to be wondering in her head, well, what does he really feel, right? What if that same couple, the girl is always telling the man, I love you, but he doesn't respond back? Are they ever going to progress their relationship? Not until he gets down and says, I love you, I want to marry you. Is she ever going to really know? Or is they ever going to progress their relationship? Well, isn't that the same with us? Isn't God always telling us He loves us? He's always showing us that He loves us. He needs something back from us. He needs us to communicate that back to Him. We do that in prayer. What kind of things do we get and give in prayer? So let's look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. We'll look at a couple scriptures here real quick. Part of what we get and give in prayer is we get confession, we cleanse us from unrighteousness, repentance, and forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Repentance is really important in a Christian's life. We look at Luke 24, verses 46 through 48. Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again on the third day, rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in His name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. In Acts 17:30, we hear, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to all men that people everywhere should repent. Prayer is our communication with the Father. He wants to forgive us, but He needs to hear it from us. Forgiveness is not a blanket thing. When we were baptized, that was not the only time we confessed our sins, repented, and were forgiven. And from that point forward, there was just no worries. It's not like that. No one understands everything they're doing wrong against God when they're baptized. How can they? They don't know enough. We can't know everything. Even being a Christian for 25 years, I still find things all the time that I'm doing that is against what God says in His Word. So when we find out what we're doing wrong, we need to acknowledge it. We need to confess it to our Father. We need to ask for His forgiveness, and we need to repent and do that. Well, how do we do that? Well, we do that in prayer. A little later on, when we look at more of the practical side, we'll look at how maybe we can do that better. Prayer is where we confess, repent, and God will actually give us forgiveness after we've been baptized. We get gifts from our Father in prayer. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? Our Father wants to give us gifts, but we need to communicate it to him. Let's think about a little child, and he's in his grandma's house. She's got a cookie jar on the cupboard, right? It's full of cookies. He just sits there and stares at it. It's not going to get him anywhere, is it? It's not until he asks grandma for a cookie is he actually going to get one. But he can't actually go steal it, can he? He can't just go take it. No, he'll get in trouble for that, right? There's consequences. We can't steal our gifts from our Father. But he wants to give them to us. But he has to hear it from us. We have to ask him, just like that little child has to ask for the cookie. We have to ask for the gifts. So what are these gifts that we need to ask for? A grace, peace, mercy, forgiveness, peace of mind, understanding, knowledge, wisdom, health, healing, physical necessities, families, guidance. The list goes on and on. What do we get from God our Father? Think about it. It's everything. We have to go to God in prayer and ask for him for these gifts. We also, in prayer, give petitions and supplications. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We go to Timothy, not go to Peter. It would be helpful. So Paul tells Timothy, first of all, then I urge you that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Prayer needs to not be a selfish thing. We should spend more time in prayer for requests for others than we do ourselves. Think about Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. He says, I give attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, and rebelled, ever turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. Moreover, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who have spoken your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. So Daniel, he prayed for all of Israel. He meted their sins. When was the last time we prayed for the sins of our country? If you look around our country, we need to pray for our country. We need to pray for the sins of our country right now. It's important. Paul told Timothy, you know, pray for the kings, pray for the authorities. We need to pray for laws to be made the right way, not like they're doing now, not making it okay for homosexuality and okay for all this other stuff that they're just pushing God's law to the side for. We need to pray more about that. And our prayers matter to God. Daniel was heard by God. We know he was. You know, so I think that we could do a lot for our country if we just prayed for it like Daniel did. And we need to think about what other people need too. Also, let's think about Paul and all of his letters. What do all his letters start off? Grace, peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. What always comes next? Seems like everyone. I thank God always for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That was the way Paul was. He was always praying about others. It's important to make others a priority in prayer. If you are having trouble praying, you're having trouble finding things to pray about, I guarantee you it's because you're not praying about others. Just take a look at the current sick list in our congregation. So we all get a bulletin here. So let's look here. What do we got today? Today we have colds and flus. We have a lot of those colds and flus. Lori's out with cold and flu. My wife's out not feeling good. There's other people out not feeling good for colds and flus. We have people with long-term health problems. You know, Maria Gottberg, Clint Potter, he's with us tonight, which is great, but he has health problems all the time. You know, we're glad he made it back from Arizona. That was answered to our prayers there. But there's a lot of people with ongoing health problems all the time. Seems like we go through bouts when it seems like there's three or four of us with cancer. You know, right now, I don't think of anyone that really has that, but we all have family members that need help. Florento asked for prayers for his sister today. Somebody else was asking for prayers today. We need to think about others. Dober and Maggie and the twins, we need to think about them. They're still, you know, those little guys still need our prayers. And Dober and Maggie, when they get home, they're going to need prayers. That's going to be a big change for them in their life. And they don't have a real big place. They're pretty tight in that little spot. But they're, you know, they're grateful for what they have. But they're going to have fun. Sarah Hopkins always has chronic health conditions. We could pray for her. Hannah Hazler is in the hospital right now. You know, I didn't see Sandy or Carol here today. We could, you know, pray for, you know, Sandy always has ongoing health problems with her heart. So there's always that. You know, look at Chad and the elders and the deacons and their work. Chad's an author. We should pray for Chad and his work there. But Chad's also a person. So I'm sure there's things that we need to pray for Chad in his own personal life that we need to do. The elders also, you know, long lives for them and service and guidance in their servants. The deacons also and their work. You know, Randy and Becky, they have 19 grandchildren. Tell me there's not something to pray about there. See, Becky's shaking her head. So, you know, the other night, when we went down to Florence, Oregon, and I actually came back Tuesday night. I was going to come back and work all week, and my family was going to come back on Friday. I ended up going back Friday morning and coming back Friday night with them because I thought that's what was best for them. But Tuesday night, I was all by myself, just me and Max the dog, if you guys met Max. And so I'm driving through Oregon all by myself. It's probably 10, 11 o'clock at night. I'm thinking, you know, now's a good time to pray. Turned off the radio, and I sat there, and I don't know how many miles I covered, but a lot of miles. And I just started thinking about people in the congregation and what I could pray for. And I tell you, I probably covered 30 or 40 miles just praying for others. And it was just, I was thinking, I'd go down the list, you know, Sarah and the Howells and Nate and Donna and just through it. And, you know, you think about where everyone sat and you know, well, what could I pray for them for? You know, the Culps, they're going to have a baby. Let's pray for that. But, you know, there's always something to pray for. And you need to think about others and think of, get to know them and know what you need to pray for them about. You know, there's always people struggling in the congregation. Just look around. Who haven't we seen for a while? They need our prayers. Who in this congregation needs a job? Are we praying for that person to get a job? I'm sure there's someone in here who needs those things. There's all those people in your life and your family, your relatives that don't know the gospel. They need our prayers. People at work, friends, all those people. How about the new converts in our congregation? We got Chris, we got Martha, we got Amon, we got Lathan, we got Allison. I'm sure I'm missing some, but you know, all those need our prayers to stay strong and to learn and to build up so that in 10 years from now, they're still here learning about the gospel, not a number of ones who fell away. So let's pray for those people. So what else do we get in prayer? We go to prayer for mercy and grace. In Hebrews 4, 15 through 16, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in time of need. It's prayer is how we draw near to Jesus. It's prayer how we draw near to the throne of grace. That's how we do it. It's in prayer. So what actually happens to our prayers? The Bible actually tells us what happens to our prayers. In Revelation, it says in chapter 5, verse 8, when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. In Revelations 8, 3 and 8, 4, so that he might add the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar, which was before the throne. And Revelations 8, 4, and the smoke and incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. Our prayers don't stay here. They don't just float off into the air. They go up to heaven. They're with God. They're incense before God. We should think about that when we pray. That's where our prayers actually go. So how should we pray? The disciples asked this question of Jesus. So Jesus gave them an answer. The religious world calls it the Lord's Prayer. We could probably all quote it off the top of our heads, right? It's in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So the religious world uses this in a lot of ways. They just use it as something to quote most of the time. But it's a great template for us to use for our prayers. We should always acknowledge God's holiness. You know, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. We should come to him and acknowledge his holiness and come to him in reverence. We should understand God's control over everything. His will be done in heaven as it is on earth. We are praying to an all-powerful God, and that's who we serve. We should be grateful for everything God provides us. Our prayers always need to come from an attitude of gratitude. As we, you know, give us today our daily bread, we acknowledge that God is the provider of everything that he gives, that we are given. And forgiveness, of course. How else does the Bible tell us to get forgiveness from God except for to ask him for it through prayer? Where should we pray? Matthew 6, 5, Jesus said, when you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you that they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So, we should pray in a private place, just us and God. That's what we should think of. Just a point of remembrance, I wanted to make sure I threw it in here somewhere, so here it is. Remember, we should never tell God how to be God or how to make our petitions manifested to him, to us. Pray to God, ask him, and see what he can give us, because he can do in ways that we have no understanding could be possible. So let's not tell him how to be God. Let's just let him be God. So we're going to look at a couple of examples of people who were devoted to prayer in the Bible. Our scripture reading was from Daniel. And what do we see from Daniel? He knew that he was not supposed to be praying to God, according to the trick that the other rulers had pulled on the king. But what did he do? When the document was signed, he entered his house in his roof chamber with his windows open towards Jerusalem. He continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he was doing previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petitions and supplications before his God. Peter, in Acts chapter 10, on the next day, they were on their way and approaching the city. Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. He became hungry and desired to eat, but while he was making preparations, he fell into a trance. So that was Peter, remember, on the rooftop right before he had his vision. And Jesus, let's look at Jesus real quick. In Matthew 14, 22, immediately he made disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. He sent away the crowds. After he had sent away the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. So what do we get from these three men and their prayers? We know these three men were devoted to prayer. And what they did, they made prayer a priority. They made time for it. They pushed everything else away. Jesus pushed the crowds away. Peter went on the rooftop, got away from everyone else. Daniel went to his roof and opened his window towards Jerusalem. He made it a priority to pray, and they went somewhere where there was no distractions, where there was nothing that could bother them. It was just them and God. There was no TV, there was no radio, there was no computer, no cat, no dog, no kids, an inner room, like it says in Matthew chapter 6. But when you go to pray, go to your inner room and close your door. So you guys may think this is really funny, but I used to think that that verse said closet. It's go to your closet and pray. And I don't know, maybe the King James actually says, I don't know. But I got to thinking about it, and you know what? That's not a bad idea, because a lot of people in this congregation have big walk-in closets, right? What a better place to go get away from everyone else and shut the door and just be with you and God. Nothing else. So some of us don't have nice big walk-in closets, but if you do, it's a thought. You just want a place where definitely you're not going to be distracted. So here are some suggestions of my own here. I think you should pray in a place where there's lots of light and it's not associated with sleep. I don't think you should go pray in your bedroom or your recliner. It's too easy to fall asleep. It's not your objective. Your objective is to talk to God. So I wouldn't make bedtime your prayer time. If, however, that is the time of day that you can do it, my suggestion is don't start off in bed. Start off kneeling next to your bed, whatever. But say the things you need to say first before you get into bed. And then if you want to get into bed and have your prayer, finish your prayer off and fall asleep in prayer, I have no problem with that. But my suggestion is do it in a place that's light and not associated with sleeping, because that's not your objective, to fall asleep. When you pray, you want to clear your mind of all your thoughts. Start with 10 deep breaths. In through your nose, out through your mouth, nice and slow. On your out breath, blow out your cares. Blow out your child yelling. Blow out the noisy neighbors. Blow out the stress of work. Just clear it out. Clear your mind. Get it focused on what you need to focus on. Just 10 nice. Okay. Probably about after 5 breaths, start thinking about a song. Start thinking about how great thou art. Something reverent. A little talk with Jesus. Holy, holy, holy. My God and I go to the garden alone. I would keep it a slower beat song just to keep your thoughts where they need to be. But the words, go over them in your head. And just to get your mind focused, like I said, you're talking to God. And we have those great songs that people have written down over the years. Those are great prayers sometimes, but something to get your mind set. And I don't think it matters whether you speak prayers out loud or you just say them in your head. God hears them. Sometimes you do need to speak them out loud. Sometimes you can just talk to God in your head. Either way, I know he hears him. That's up to you, what you think you need to do. And then I think you need to follow the outline that we see in the Lord's Prayer. Always go with reverence. Acknowledge who God is. Always be thankful. Always ask for forgiveness. Make your prayers and petitions for others. It should always be done in an attitude of gratitude. And most of all, we need to believe and have faith, as in James chapter 1. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect anything, that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Remember, you're talking to God. He's the one who spoke the universe into existence. He spoke life into existence. He's all-powerful. So now, we found our quiet place. We've cleared our minds. And we're talking to God. And I told you earlier we'd talk about confession, repentance, and forgiveness. So what does that look like to acknowledge, confess, and repent in our prayers? So when we are in prayer, we ask God to show us that and help us to find a better way when we acknowledge what we're doing wrong. So we ask God to show it to us and to visualize it. Remember, and Chad even brought this up this morning in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but is such as common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will provide you a way of escape, so that you will be able to endure it. So let's look at scenarios in our life. Say we're dealing with an ongoing sinful situation. Maybe it's some relationship at work, whether somebody's saying wrong things like dirty jokes. Maybe you see an attractive person of the opposite sex and you have wrong thoughts. You make bad comments or conversations with that person, maybe. Maybe there's a family member who, when you guys get together, you always end up in a fight, in an ugly situation, right? Or maybe you're having trouble being angry with your children or your spouse. Or there's always that one, you know, no one's around, we're all by ourselves, and we're getting away with something sinful. You know, that secret sin that we all think we get away with, but we really don't. We pretend like we are, though. So we want to ask God for our guidance. We want to ask to show him a way, show us the way of escape that he's given us. And we are asking him to reprogram our mind and our subconscious inner man so that when that comes around again, we don't end up in the same place. So, you know, let's just think about it here. When we're praying to God, we close our eyes, right? And we want to acknowledge to God what we're doing wrong. You know, we say, God, Father above, you know, I acknowledge that when this scenario comes around, when I'm in that family get-together, that I acted wrong. I got angry. I shouldn't have gotten angry. I handled the situation wrong. I ended up saying things I didn't want to say. I used foul language. I didn't act like your son would act. And Lord, I'm sorry for that. I repent of that. Please, Lord, show me the way that you had given me to escape that. Help me to see that way. And you know, he'll show it to you. He'll show you the way that he had for you to escape there. But then you also ask him, Lord, in the future, when this scenario comes up, when I'm with this person, I don't want to act this way anymore. Please help me. Help me to visualize what's going to happen so that I can better handle this situation. Help me to see what you would have me to do so that I can be that good example to that person, so I can show Christ living in my life. You know, ask God these things. Help him to let you see it and visualize it. And then when that scenario comes around, act the right way. Act the way you know you should. Don't, you know, if it's trouble with the kids, you know, act the right way when the next opportunity comes your way, because it'll present itself. All these things are, like I said, these are ongoing areas where we drop into sin because we didn't, you know, follow the way of escape God gave us. But we need to acknowledge it. We need to confess it to God, and we need to ask him for his guidance in showing that to us. And then when it comes around again, we need to take that way out. So how about praying for somebody else? We need to pray for other people. We need to pray for their souls, right? So the same thing. We ask God to show us, give us the scene of us talking to someone else about their soul. Maybe it's someone at work. Lord, I know Joe at work. I know that he needs you. I know that he needs your son. I want to help him and guide him to see it. Lord, please show me and give me the way. Help me visualize that me going to him and him accepting your word, and help me to say the right things and show me the right things to say. I know that he believes this, and so give that as a way for me to help present it to him. And, you know, ask God for these things and guidance, and he'll give it to you. You just have to ask him to show it to you, because he will. So there's a few main points I want to get out, that I want you to get out of this. When you're devoted to prayer, you need to make prayer a priority. Set aside the time to talk to God, your Father. You always want to have prayer with an attitude of gratitude. You want to make your prayers focused on others. And your goal is to draw near to God and change your inner man and become more Christ-like. If you can get anything out of my lesson tonight, those are the things I'd like you to get out. I thank you for your time. I know this wasn't a lesson about how to become a Christian. I know this wasn't a lesson about, you know, correcting a lot of wrong things in your life. It's a lesson about trying to be better servants to God the way we should, opening our prayer life up, because it's really important. So if we can help you in any way, now's the time to come forward, whether you want to become a Christian or whether you just need help.